fire and fruit.
We will study the third chapter of the Epistle of James. My brethren, it's interesting the number of times he calls upon his hearers as my brethren. Be not any masters. Now this lesson deals with the tongue. And if we take that statement, slow to speak, it is very appropriate. Be not many masters. Don't be bossy, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. The more we try to boss other people, dominate their lives, call the shots, criticize what they are doing and what they are not doing, the more we open ourselves to condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able to bridle the whole body. So James here is focusing on speech. If our language, the way we address and describe and talk, is without offense, then we are perfect. Now this word perfect, as I mentioned, as we opened our study in this epistle, means optimum possible. It's translated mature in many versions. It's what we can do. It's the attaining of the potential. In other words, James is saying that to attain to real maturity, real perfection, to get the best out of life, we must be word controllers. And if we can bridle the tongue, the words we say, then we can bridle the rest of the body. And this word bridle leads him to some very interesting illustrations. We put bits in horses' mouths and control them, make them obey us. And their mouth and the little bit is very small compared with the rest of the huge body of the horse. So what he is focusing on is that the size of the controller doesn't matter. What matters is the completeness of the control. Then he says, think about ships. They are huge. They are driven of fierce winds. Yet they can be steered by a very small rudder, small helm, whithersoever the governor desires. When you think of the size of a rudder in connection with the size of the plane, it's very small. When you think of the size of the bit in comparison with the size of the beast, it's very small too. Even so the tongue, like the bit and the rudder, is a little member, but it boasts, brags, exaggerates great things. And then he uses a third illustration of the tongue. How great a matter a little fire kindles. A whole forest can be burned down. A whole block, city block of houses can be reduced to ashes by one match. So the emphasis of these three illustrations of the bit that controls the horse, of the rudder that steers the ship, of a fire that ignites a whole village, is that size doesn't count. These items the bit, the rudder, and the match are very small, but they can accomplish very great results. So the tongue. The tongue is like a fire. It's a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members. It defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature. Now, if you look in your margin for course of nature, it's the wheel of nature. And there are some verses that are interesting in this context. Proverbs 25:11. A word that is spoken upon his wheels is like fruit of gold in a framework of silver. That is a good word, an appropriate word, well spoken, produces glorious fruit. But a word that is not an appropriate word, that is spoken in evil, sets on fire the wheels of nature. In Ezekiel chapter 1, we have a vision of wheels within wheels that the book Education defines as the play and interplay of human events. So what Solomon and James are saying is that a good word spoken upon his wheels helps forward the play and interplay of human events, and that an evil word sets on fire the wheels of nature. The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity, and is set on fire of hell. Every kind of beast, he says, and fish and serpent may be tamed, but no man can tame the tongue. Unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With the tongue we bless God, and we curse our fellow men. Out of the same mouth, blessing and cursing come. No fountain sends forth sweet water and bitter the same place. A fig tree cannot bear berries, neither a vine figs. A fountain cannot yield salt water and fresh. Got to be one or the other. Who is a wise man? Here again he talks about wisdom. If any man lacks wisdom, let him come to God. Who is a wise man? Endued with knowledge. See, knowledge is the being filled with facts. Wisdom is the skill to use the facts to solve the problems of life. Let that wise man, full of knowledge, demonstrate out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. Now this takes up the story of faith and works. You may be smart, you may be full of knowledge, but that smartness and full of knowledge is no good if you don't live. Show forth in a good manner of life his works with meekness, that is, without self-justification, and with wisdom. But if we have bitter envying and strife shown by our speech, we're not glorifying God, and we're giving the lie to the truth we profess. This kind of wisdom, earthly wisdom, descends not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure. That is, it's not adulterated with evil motivation. It brings forth peaceable fruit. It's very gentle to deal with. It can be persuaded, easy to be entreated. It's approachable. It's full of mercy, good fruit, without partiality. That is, as he dealt with in chapter 2, and without hypocrisy, prejudice. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace to them that make peace. So in this chapter, the apostle is emphasizing the role of communication, of the tongue. You can be as smart and full of knowledge, he says, but if that doesn't work in relationships, then you're not from God. You're not pleasing God. You're giving lies to the truth of God. We must bring the tongue into control. And by his illustration, he emphasizes that even though the tongue is small, we must not ever underplay its effectiveness. A rudder is small, a bit is small, a match is small. But with these elements, we can control big issues. Therefore, we should control our relationships, the play and interplay, the wheels of life, the wheels of nature. We can either lubricate them by our good words, or we can cause so much friction and heat that the play and interplay of human events, the wheels of nature, grind to a horrible halt. And we give the lie to God by using our tongues in one case to sing hymns and pray and bless God, and at the same time going out from church and using those same tongues to criticize, blaspheme God, and use all kinds of filthy language. This inconsistency is illustrated in nature. A tree doesn't bring forth good figs and bad figs. A fountain doesn't send forth sweet water and bitter. We must implore God for heavenly wisdom by which we can bring forth the fruits of good relationships that glorify our Father in heaven.